I'm not going to scare anybody. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Yeah, all right. We'll wake up the Presbyterians down the road. Good, all right. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. You've just done that beautifully. Well done. And then next, know that the Lord, he is God. Sing, yes, read it with me. He's God. It is he who has made us, not we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless your name. You're supposed to do that. Give thanks. Not out loud. Your heart. Give thanks to the Lord. Bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this day. Thank you for Thanksgiving. And while we are going to be eating a lot and thanking a lot and enjoying family this week, today, Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness endures forever. And we get to be a participant in that. We get to eat at that table and enjoy your presence. And bless us now as we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Now God's people again said, amen. And you can be seated. Now, good news, bad news. I have two sermons today. So that means the first one's not going to be really long. But don't get excited, because when the first one's over, there's a second one. So you've got to stay with me for a little bit longer after the first one is over. But we're going to end the first one and then pick up the second one. But today we're going to just look very quickly at two verses of Scripture that you know very, very, very well. In Philippians chapter 6, and I know that all of us have probably memorized this. It's on a coffee mug or a bumper sticker somewhere in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It's the theme of our prayer room. If you go into our prayer room, that's how you know, we've kind of come under that verse as we open that prayer room and that prayer ministry up. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It starts out, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about this text is that every year, the people that operate the Kindle app have a metric they use, and they can check how many times does a sentence get underlined or highlighted in a book that they publish. And every year, this verse, these two verses come back as the most highlighted of anything that they have on their app, of any book they sell, classics, everything else. These are the two most highlighted verses. Now, I've wondered about that because I'm thinking there are people in that number who are making a claim to that verse that's really not theirs to be able to make. That those verses are a promise, a solid promise to those who know the Lord, to those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord and made their commitment to him. You know, I have, you know, y'all know, I talk about it all the time, I have a granddaughter, Mikhail. So Mikhail has now talked me out of like a $300 doll for Christmas. Because when you have a papa, you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you as you have asked, and that's happened. But here's the thing. You may have a really cute little six-year-old granddaughter too, but if she comes up to me and asks me for a $300 doll for Christmas, I'm going to go, I ain't your papi. Okay? And while the promise is good for my granddaughter, it's not good for everybody. This promise is good for those of you who are under that covenant with God. You are bought by the blood of his son. Okay, now, you, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be afraid. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for us. In Philippians, this passage actually says, let me just go all the way with the interpretation. It actually says, we're commanded not do, it says, do not continually live in anxiety. Do not continually worry about anything. Do not, you understand continually worrying? Some of you do that, doing it at 4 o'clock this morning. You continually worry. There's one. But instead, continually rejoice in all things. Now, I think we, at some point, we violate both of those verses. Because sometimes we do worry, and sometimes we don't rejoice. But God's word says, you don't have to worry. And you can rejoice in everything. Now, I want you for a moment, if you would, with me today, to relive a time in your life that was hard. It was defining. It's a moment that you wouldn't want to ever relive. You don't want to even go back and think about it again. But you did live it. And it was hard. It is hard. You know what's hard about pastoring a church for 30 years? I know you. I know what you've been through. Many of you. I know your stories. I've seen you shed your tears. And that makes this kind of message a lot harder. I'd rather preach this one to strangers. Because I don't know what I'm asking them, but I know what I'm asking you. And I know what some of you have been through. And in spite of that, I am saying you need to give thanks for that situation. You need to give thanks for that situation. So I'm asking you again, what was that moment? What was that time? What was that season in your life? Maybe, again, you're in it today. Maybe it's still there. Maybe it's just part of who you are today. And maybe you're even fighting thinking about it again, but let me ask you, are you thankful for it? Wait a minute, Pastor, wait. What happened to me was wrong. It was unjust. It was a betrayal. It was unfair. It's proof in my mind that God doesn't exist, because if God existed, why would he ever allow something like that to happen to one of his children? So give thanks for it? Come on. Really? That's what I'm supposed to do. But see, here's the deal. If you're not doing that, if you haven't been thankful, then you have trapped yourself in this endless cycle of trying to erase or rectify that memory. And you can't do either. You can't do either. You can't medicate it away. You try. Use alcohol, drugs, porn, sex, working, shopping. But you know what else you do if you don't give thanks for it? Whatever that was. I'm saying whatever. If you don't give thanks for it, the only alternative is you get bitter over it. Get bitter. Only two options. Not a third door. So the condition of this passage is we're praying with thanksgiving. Over what? The thing we're worried about. The thing you're worried about. If you're thankful, something different happens. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be in chaos about anything. Anything includes your thing, whatever that thing is. Because you see, here's what I want you to understand. Gratitude isn't just some sloppy, hastily offered prayer that you pray over the Thanksgiving table so you could dive into the turkey and gravy. That's how most of us interpret Thanksgiving. But that's not what it is. Gratitude As much as we have tamed it down in our culture, gratitude is a spiritual weapon that pulls down strongholds in your mind and breaks a cycle of continual defeat in your life. It kills bitterness at its root. So in everything, we give thanks. A few years ago, I was finishing up a study on 1 Thessalonians that we were going through together, and I finished up on Sunday morning, finished up all but a couple of verses, about 20 years ago, finished all but a couple of verses on Sunday morning, and thought, Sunday night, I'll finish it up. We were having the Lord's Supper, so I had a few verses to finish. I thought, I can do that. And the verse that was kind of the centerpiece of the last message was 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says that everything, in everything, give thanks. Friday, before, I got that call from the doctor. That one nobody wants to get. I'm sorry, but the pathology shows you've got cancer. And you need to have surgery soon. And then Sunday, I had to stand up and preach 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Even cancer, God. Even cancer. You see, either God's in control of your life, folks, or he's not. If you won't give thanks, you're basically saying, God, you missed it on that one, buddy. Is that what you want to say? God, obviously, you're not sovereign. You're not in control. I wouldn't have let that happen to me. I had surgery. They got the cancer out. And I stood up and preached on Sunday night that text. But can I be honest with you, really honest? I didn't feel it. I didn't want to. But then as the days came, I realized, I had one of the best hospitals in the country and one of the best surgeons, according to him, because I asked him, I said, are you the best surgeon? And he said he was, so I'll take his word for it. Because if he's not, I want to talk to the guy that is. I'd like to see you. I had a wife who's a surgical nurse. She was behind the scenes on everything that happened. I had the best team they had. I had a son that stood with me while I got the news. Put his arm around me. I said, Dad, we'll get through this. I had a lot to be thankful for. Yeah, I had cancer. But that's 20 years ago, so it didn't kill me, thank God. I have a lot to be thankful for. You see, the gratitude guarded me from being bitter and from self-pity. It carried me. I know it did. I know it did. God's good. He's good all the time. You know, I wonder sometimes when I read Paul, I've studied Paul a lot, I wonder how he did it. You know, he was on death row in a Roman prison. He wasn't in a five-star hotel in the Caribbean. He was not exactly experiencing luxury accommodations, let's put it that way. Any minute, they were getting ready to come. They're going to march in, take him out, and put him on a low stump and cut his head off. Try that to wake up in the morning. That is the man, and that is the circumstance who said, in everything, give thanks. Don't worry about anything. If anybody had something to worry about, Paul had something to worry about. And he said, don't do it. Don't do it. But in everything, rejoice. I wonder what that sounded like in a prison cell early in the morning. Praise God from whom all. Who is this nut? What is he doing? How is that happening? So listen, I want to learn. How did he do that? So it's really two or three things here real quick. Number one, instead of worrying, let's pray. Instead of worrying, let's pray. How about that? Start out there. Instead of worrying, let's pray. You can't just stop doing something. You have to replace it with something. So we need to pray. We need to pray. Now, praying in this context doesn't just mean, folding our hands, bowing. It's not that. The way the word prayer here is a worship word. We're to give adoration to God. Thanksgiving begins with adoration to God. We're giving glory to him for who he is. We worship. We bring ourselves before him. We're connecting. You know, when you're praying, you're connecting with God. This week, I was reading some research from the Gottman Institute, just some of the best marriage stuff out there. And they've just done some research and discovered that they can predict with uncanny accuracy, about 98% accuracy, whether your marriage is going to survive 5 years or not. And they do it by observation. They watch you. And here's what they look for. How many times do you connect with your mate? I don't mean evening out connecting. I'm not just moments in the day. You know what destroys a marriage is not the big blow up. It's those little things that we just miss. You have a moment to connect. You take it, you give it up. What they found was the people that managed to get, there's called a bid for connection. A bid for connection is this. It's when your spouse, you guys are standing in the kitchen in the morning, your spouse says, hey, I read this really interesting article last night. A spouse that wants to connect in that moment will say, oh, really, what was it about? A spouse that turns away says, hey, or they'll say, And a spouse that turns against will say, can't you see I'm writing an email? So they counted the number of times that a couple in a day turns toward each other when there's another bid for connection. Guys, by the way, little hint, took me a long time to figure this one out. A sigh is a bid for connection. That's your spouse saying, will you give me some attention? Don't miss, you're welcome. I'm not even gonna charge you for that, that's free. Bid for connection. The couples that failed in 5 years in their marriage, 23 times a day, they honored the other spouse's bid for connection. 23 times a day. But spouses that succeeded, it was 86 times a day. I don't mean a big moment. I'm talking about your spouse walks into the room and you go, hey, there's a bid for connection. And you connect it. Okay? You know, prayer is a bid for connection. This is God saying, hey, it's time to connect. You see something, you ever driven across the Julia Creek, you just drive across the bridge, you go, oh, what a sunset, that's beautiful. You know what that is? That's God making a bid for connection with you. How many times do you just go, I don't have time. All right, let me put it this, let me put it simpler. Not that it's you, but if you have a fight with your spouse at bedtime, here's what I'm pretty sure you don't do. You don't lay down in the bed and lay face to face, do you? You just had a fight. When you're in a good place, you lay face to face. When you're turning away, you lay what? Back to back. And when you're turning against, I'm not even sleeping in the same bed with you. How many times in a day do you turn toward each other? How many times in a day do you turn away from each other when you could have turned toward them? How many times do you turn against them? All right, you and God, how many times? Pray, just come to me. Pray, 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 pray. And then what else did he say? He says, bring supplication. Make it, listen, let me, the best way I can do supplication is this. Supplication is the detail that your son, child, daughter, or grandchild is spending on their Christmas list right now to bring to you. That's a supplication. That's a detailed listing of what I want. This is what I want. And they want to make sure you know what it is they want. All right, so you, that's a supplication. God says, bring your detail, bring your problems to me. Bring the things that, what's too big? Well, nothing's too big. What's too small? Anything that worries you is not too small. If you're worried about it, it's big enough for you to bring to God in prayer. And he invites you to do it right here, supplication. He's saying, just bring it to me, bring it to me. And then from supplication, then we move into appreciation, thanksgiving. So instead of worrying, let's pray. Secondly, instead of complaining, let's be grateful. All right, we're going from adoration, praying, we're going from the supplication, asking, and then we're going to appreciation, we're giving thanks. Now that's hard sometimes. I stayed this past week for a couple of days and nights in what I affectionately like to call the Hotel Pensacola. It was, and if you hear a little eagle singing in the background, you can make that work, it's there. I got a deal on hotel, I'm a sucker for a deal. I got a deal on hotel.com. It was a good deal. I thought, oh, wow, this is great. And you know, when I got there, probably a dead giveaway was their tagline was you get what you pay for. And I walked into this place and I immediately began to understand how they saved money on the room. They saved money on cleaning supplies. They didn't use any. You know? They saved money on the carpeting outside my room. It was awful. It was terrible. But they saved money. They didn't replace it. They had these bare white light bulbs that were just terrible. I mean, just they're awful. I just detest them. But they had those. But they saved money. They had a spotlight for security right outside my bedroom window. How convenient. Shining right into my bedroom. It was so convenient. I saved all kinds of money, though. I was a good steward. I saved the church a bunch of money on that room. But here's the thing. And they had a couch. It was a suite. Wouldn't sit on the couch, but they had a couch there. It was a couch. True to form, true to advertising, it was a couch in the room. And as I was looking around at the room, the Lord reminded me of what I'm preaching this week. Now, remember, I'm not in a jail cell. Not in a hospital room. Not even in the best jail cell in the county. I'm not anywhere like where Paul was. But you know what I did? The whole first day I was there almost, I was just finding reasons to complain. Somebody else, and you know what else you do when you get there? You start being jealous of other. You know, other people got a better room than me. Because they didn't go on hotel.com, but they got a better room than I did, and they're in better places than I am, and you know, and here, poor me, poor, oh, woe is me. And I went through that, and the Lord slapped me around. You got a room, you're not sleeping in your car, you're not homeless. Listen, if you don't give thanks, you will resort to complaining. How do you know you're not being thankful? You're complaining. Pretty simple. Not a hard diagnostic test, okay? Complaining. So instead of complaining, let's be grateful. for whatever it is you have, and then the things that you are going through. And third, instead of struggling, let's be still. The peace of God. Here's where we want to get. Everybody loves this verse. They don't love the part about praying and supplication and thanksgiving, but they love this part about, oh, peace. Okay, oh, I need to get to peace. That's what I want. So instead of struggling, let's be still. You know, every now and then, Mikhail will bring me something. She's six. And she wants to bring me something every now and then to fix it, to build it, or to do it. But as soon as I start, she says, give it to me, let me do it. And so, you know, I don't know why she just doesn't save that step and just keep it, but she gives it to me. And here's what I've realized. Poppy, you're not quick enough. See, I don't get time to read the directions. I don't get time to think about it. I have to just fix it. And I don't. And so she says, let me do it because I can do it faster and better. And you see, that's how we strive with God, isn't it? Okay, your problem, your anxiety, what are you dealing with? God, oh, God, please fix this. Give it back, I'll take care of it. How many times have you done that? Why? Because he's not fast enough. He's not fixing it for you fast enough. So you take it back so you can fix it. I can do it faster. How am I going to do it? I'm going to worry about it. That's what I do. Why do I worry about it? Because it works so well. I mean, when I worry about things, things just work out so much better for me. Oh, it just resolves all the problems. It's a wonderful thing. I'm going to worry about this instead of letting the one who knows what he's doing fix it. Because let me tell you something, beloved. If you're worrying about it, you've taken it back out of his hand. Who do you want to fix it? So let me give you a solution. Let me give you an alternative, then I'll stop this one. How about this? So Moses is standing at the Red Sea, rod out, and God says, Moses, stand still. Cease striving. Stop struggling. Stop striving. And know that I'm God. Moses, stop it. Just be still. And know that I'm God. What's that look like for you? Okay, here's what it looks like. God, I don't know what to do about fill in the blank. But you do. So if you want me to do something, show me what it is and I'll do it. But if you don't show me anything, then I'm just going to trust you on this and I'm going to move on. And I'm going to trust that you've got this. I'm not going to mess things up with my pitiful efforts to help you in my own energy, in my own flesh. And before I go, I'm going to thank you now for however you want this to turn out. In Jesus' name, amen. There's your prayer. I dare you to pray it. No, I dare you to pray it and then worry. Because if you really pray that, I don't think you will. God, you're going to fix this somehow. I'm going to be thankful for how you do it, when you do it, and what you do. End of story. Move on. Get off it. Break the cycle. Don't be anxious. Rejoice in everything. And the peace of God that you can't even explain, you don't even know where it comes from, will surround your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Father, right now, have your way in us as we come to a moment of commitment and bring ourselves before you in this time. I pray that whatever it is we're worrying about, I pray that you'll help us maybe even just physically to bring that to the altar and leave it here today. To trust you, to do what you need to do with it in us and by us, through us, to us. And help us to ever be thankful for the work that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing for just a moment, give you